qualified for the World Cup. Go and compete.
Just so we all know, I've had a few drinks.
Asher.
All right.
Haven't we all? Oh, celebrating third place, is it?
Mm-hmm. Pretty
an
much.
Eighth.
How the mighty have fallen.
The average of third, eighth, and 13th is fourth, right? So we're celebrating Champions League, yeah?
Yeah.
Excellent.
The podcast is going to Europe, yeah.
Yeah.
That's it.
Tuchel is a fucking sham. Brendan Rodgers has never done nothing.
You know, in many ways, this may be Klopp's greatest achievement.
Oh.
Yeah, I mean, probably not, but...
Getting third with half a squad. Sorry.
Yeah, yeah. People have done worse with more.
They sure have.
I think considering all of the injuries and circumstances surrounding, you know, COVID and no fans in the stadium, it's one of the greatest title defenses of our generation.
Yes, I suppose so.
You reckon we can edit the intro to be like, we've qualified for the Champions League. Go and compete.
Yes.
Because the lads have already turned off after 2 minutes. You know that. They've heard about Klopp and it's like, all right, next week.
Good riddance.
Fuck.
So, we get things going.
Sure.
Yeah,
it's been a funny old week. I mean, it was the last weekend of Premier League. And, you know, it was actually really refreshing to have games on at the same time and actually have to see how different scores and goals affect things, because we haven't had that for such a long time.
Yeah, it feels like forever.
Yeah, it was, I don't know. Did it play out as planned? Kind of did.
I wouldn't say so. As in Leicester, I think everyone thought might do a bit better than they did.
Hmm.
They really bottled it. This is another season they bottled it. They did the same last season.
Everyone on about Rodgers being this great manager, he's a fucking serial bottler is all he is.
Well, he did win the FA Cup like 2 weeks ago.
Yeah, no one cares about that.
Yeah.
Sorry.
But that was against the other serial bottlers, Chelsea, who have lost like 5 of the last 6 finals. So, you know.
And they'll get done in by City as well now.
Yeah, they'll have to be.
They will.
Can't see them. 100%. Can't see them competing.
Leicester spent like 13 weeks or something in the top 4 and have dropped out of it now at the last hurdle.
Mm.
And last season it was the same. Like they were in the top 4 for like most of the season.
But last Connor, 2 weeks. Look at their net spend.
Yeah.
Come on, man.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's the argument.
Can I say about Leicester being an underdog as well? They were pumped full of money in the championship. So
yeah, they were.
When people want to talk about Leicester, yeah, I know relative to the big teams, they're still very small and they don't spend that much, and they're well run. But this was not, you know, a total underdog story. Them getting all the way to the league title, like they got a lot of help that clubs don't get.
Yeah, I tend to agree.
Mm. And I guess you have to count as well that Leicester had plenty injuries this season, which is always very hard to, you know, get top 4 when you have like star players like Madison, Vardy injured for large patches of the season.
Sure.
Another factor.
Yeah. But look, Leicester outspurs Spurs.
They did, really. They did.
Yeah.
The fact that Spurs, in their current situation, with all of the shit and shenanigans that's gone on this season, the fact that, I know it's the Conference League, but the fact that they've got European football really angers me. It was working so well with Arsenal sneaking in there, because Arsenal have, under the guidance of podcast favourite Arteta, have really turned things around, made a few bold calls, nearly got to a Europa League final. It would have been fitting, whereas Spurs have stuttered the whole season.
They were like top in December. And yeah. Oh, we came so close to Arsenal overtaking him. Arsenal having been in like relegation form at the same time. Would have been sweet, but fuck it.
Yep.
Rodgers blew it. Rodgers blew it, not Arsenal.
Yeah. Yeah, it's true. It's true. I mean,
well, sorry. Well, Flynn, are you like happy with the Arsenal season?
Am I happy with the worst season in Arsenal fucking history or Arsenal in the past 50 years?
I'm just asking questions. Just asking the question.
No, I'm not happy with it at all. In fact, the only reason that I just don't think Arteta should be put on the fucking chopping block like today is that the past 7 or 8 games in the Premier League, they've looked very good. But that's only in the Premier League when there was nothing to play for, when it was a foregone conclusion, they're getting nothing out of it. Made a fucking shambles of the Europa League, shambles of the FA Cup defence. Can't even happen. Remember what happened in the League Cup? Probably was a shambles as well. So, the signings, yeah, fucking Jesus. Absolutely dog shit season all around. And Arteta, next season, Arteta, it's got to go very well for him because otherwise, Jesus, there's no hope at all for him. It's got to go very well. You can't have a repeat of this at all. You can't even have slightly better than this. You have to get way better than this next season.
Do you think he's the wrong man for the job? Okay, Kieran, to you.
Yeah,
he may well be, but fuck it. It's what we got.
I hear there's a manager with European riches and experience there in the Europa League final this season playing Manchester United. Maybe you should look at him.
I prefer Arteta to Emery, despite it all. I do, Jesus. That'll tell you how bad Emery was. Actually, I think Arsenal this season finished with more points than last season, but somehow, I don't know how that happened. God, yeah. Under Emery, it was very, very, very bad. And there was like no hope or optimism going forward because it was like, this guy isn't going to change who he is. And he's got the team playing like this and nothing's really going to happen different next season as we go on. Whereas with Arteta, because it's like his first year, it's his first full year as a manager, you still have a thought in the back of your head. Maybe he's learning and growing as a manager as it goes, which is a fucking, you know, the Ole defense. The thing that, you know, your fans would be like, give him time. Give him time. He's a young, bright, hopeful manager and he's learning. This is when he's like 56 or something as well, by the way. But anyway, it's all he can go on at the moment. It's the only thing giving me hope is that it can only get better, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
No, it can't. No, it's going to get worse before it gets better, Flynn. Yeah. I passed the same question to you, Hanley. That was going to be one of the points, is that are we happy with our seasons? I mean, on today, you probably are, but overall, are you happy with Liverpool's season?
I guess if you look back to when the season started, probably not. But when you look at how the season panned out, I think you'd have to be. A few weeks ago, Champions League seemed unrealistic. So to have gotten that, yeah. It's a disappointing season, but you see like the likes of Nat Phillips and stuff coming through and possibly, I don't know. I guess you can hope for
coming through.
Well, is it? Yeah. Do you not think? No. Where do you come from?
Well, I'd say he's heading for the fucking exit door.
but that's it. But they could now get like a decent fee for him. I don't think he's the future of Liverpool whatsoever.
Okay. All right. No, that's what I thought you meant. It's like, yeah, Nat Phillips has come through. He's broken through now.
No, yeah. No, he's come through and established himself as like a Premier League player. so they could now get like a decent fee for him. But I mean, Van Dijk and Gomez, once they're back, that's game over. I do think they've seen now that there's a real need for more than three centre backs. So hopefully we see more than three centre backs next season. But
do you really? Because this was such a freak season. Like most teams, every team really, other than Man City, they only have two good centre halves and one decent backup, and then the rest are like, you know, fodder. Mm-hmm. Like any normal team would have that. So I don't think Liverpool are made of balls of anything really. If Man United or whoever, or Barcelona, if they lost their three, you know, first choice centre backs, they'd be fucked as well.
Well, thank you, Connor, for saying that, because I'm glad I didn't have to be the one to make that point. But yeah, basically, Liverpool were without four, if not five, key players this season. And to get Champions League football at the end of that is, to be honest, brilliant. Yeah. I don't know how to say it.
I was wondering what word you were going to pick. I was thinking you were going to say incredible. Brilliant is probably more safer, so fair play, good choice. Yeah. I mean, it's true, like it's a laboured point, and there's, you know, there's no point repeating it really, but it's true. Take a look at the top eight, the teams that got into Europe, say, and take away the caliber of players, like take away any club's captain and they're in the mud. You know, do that with the captain and the backup. Well, yeah, Aubameyang too, exactly. But it was, yeah, I don't know. Funny old season. It's a big old transfer window for Liverpool. I don't think the funds are there or the maneuverability is there for Liverpool to make wholesale changes. But I wonder, I guess, like, is Wijnaldum, is he leaving on a fee or is he leaving on a free?
He's leaving on a free, I think. Okay. Yeah.
Yeah. See, there's not much incoming, is there?
No, and it's... Well, that one is a little funny because it wasn't really announced, or it hasn't been up until at this point, but it was in the program notes and things that would be like, you know, a tribute to him. So it's a little funny. But they still do have the likes of Shaqiri and Keita, who are apparently available, Chamberlain. So there are funds available. But it's
how much money are you going to get for him?
This is it.
Realistically, how much would you want for this three then?
60 million? I mean, 60 million.
Okay.
Without the question mark.
All right.
Yeah. But this is the thing, I don't know, like it's so funny with Liverpool, like, because you could argue that Liverpool had the funds to win the league because of Bournemouth and Palace, because, you know, we gave you like 30 million per player when they weren't worth jack shit. So there is that side of things where Liverpool could just drum up huge fees for these subpar players.
Remind me who Palace bought for a huge fee.
Benteke and Sacco.
Oh, him, right. 70 okay. million. Oh, I thought that was this season. All right, yeah. Never mind.
Oh, yeah. Sorry. Over the years, Bournemouth too, obviously, with like Solanke Bournemouth and
fucking piggy bank. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So, yeah. But like someone like Shaqiri now. I mean, is he a player that's wanted? I can't even see mid-table Premier League clubs.
I thought bothering. He'd get 20 mil. No.
It's an interesting one. Like, he's done the rounds. Like, he's not a spring chicken, as they say. He's not a spring chicken. He's probably nearing the later end of his career. He would have high wage demands, which means that he's already in less demand because money. So I don't know. I don't know if it's a given that someone will take him for good money.
Remember watching him at, like, the Under-21 World Cup with Dave, and the commentators just going nuts over him. The Swiss Messi or whatever it was, and he was actually incredible. Yeah, he looked brilliant.
I speaking of under 21s, I was at an under 21s Ireland Germany game.
All right.
Oh yeah.
Years ago,
disco.
And I looked up the team. Shit, if I can find it. And the under 21 German team had like Neuer and Khedira and Boateng, all those kind of players at it. They all played at Turner's Cross. Like, fucking ridiculous.
Yeah. Sure.
And it was. And it was what Sean Scannell for Palace at the time was playing for Ireland. I remember that.
He was, he's on the team sheet, yeah.
That's mental, isn't it?
Yeah, ridiculous.
They will always remember the day.
That's it, they faced Sean Scannell. He was a nifty little player before everyone realised he wasn't.
Yeah, that's what catches people out.
Yeah, it always gets them.
Hang on, he's shite.
I checked the market values according to FUTMob, and it's around 60 million in total for those three players. But
but
what's that going to buy you in terms of quality? That's the other question.
And you know, I have a firm belief that like Wijnaldum leaving, they won't replace him because. We've seen that in the past, like Sturridge left, they didn't buy a striker. Lovren left, they didn't buy a defender. So I think if those kind of players leave, they'll buy a very specific player, whether that be, I don't know, a left back or another winger or something. Or Konate, who I've seen an awful lot of stuff about. But you just have to believe in what they're doing because it's worked before. And in the past, I've gone, you have to buy a defender, you have to buy a striker, whatever. Anything they've done before has worked up until now. So trust in the system, I would say.
That's fair.
I'm sure the Germans thought that in 1941.
Fuck's sake.
I mean, it worked for three years.
You got to say something, Adrian.
Nope.
Yeah. Okay. Adrian knew he was going to walk into a geography, history, or political question that he couldn't answer.
He knows what I'm talking about now. Right?
You know what Germany is, Adrian, yeah?
I've heard of it, yeah.
If they speak Germanic there.
Fucking next topic, please.
Can I put the question to myself now?
Yep. Please do.
One.
Okay. So no, Gurren, are you happy with this? Yeah. This is it. Am I happy with Crystal Palace's season? Well, I mean, sort of. Can't really knock a 14th place finish when you look at the standard of the Palace squad now currently. But obviously big news. I think we all kind of knew it was coming, but Hodgson, stepping away from Crystal Palace is a big change. I suppose there's a rebuild on the cards now currently. And as exciting as it is, it's also terrifying because I guess it ties into the point that I want to make about Hodgson is that I think I owe the guy an apology. I think I've been really harsh on him over the years. Like, although I don't like his tactics and I don't like his choice of personnel and I don't like the way in which we've played and gotten results, it's still, you know, we were punching well above our weight to get him initially. And he took on a job that perhaps many others wouldn't when we were 8 games, well, I think it was only 6 maybe when he took over. 6 games without a win, like the worst start to the Premier League. I mean, that's a big task. I mean, he's just coming off the England job where he got enough criticism. It's very easy for him to have just said no. But he did take the job in his boyhood club. He took us from a really rough patch to the stable kind of mid-bottom half that we are now currently. And that boringness, that stability, that lack of real drive to kind of get us into maybe the top half or above. It did help the club succeed. I mean, the chairman keeps saying, Steve Parish, that it's to build like the academy and the stadium. So we couldn't have done any of that. We couldn't have had the under-18s, you know, being joint top of the under-18 league, and the under-23s now playing for the title on, I think it's Monday, and the stadium plans going through. Couldn't have had all of that if you're yo-yoing between the Championship and the Premier League. So, yeah, I'm sorry, Roy. You were a really good servant to the club, and I was very harsh at you, on you. And, yeah, kind of hope there's a director of football post or something opening up for you. And yeah, that's me eating humble pie. Sorry, nice. Roy. Yeah.
Very nice.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Thanks. Yeah, yeah. It's a bit teary, you know. It's it's been a long old few years with him.
So, good old Roy. Do you want Frank or do you want Big Sam?
I don't want Big Sam. We've had Big Sam. He's not coming back.
Oh, he might.
Can't see him.
Oh, jeez.
No. Like, I mean, do you know the thing?
It can't.
Did you see his post-match interview when he basically like resigned or said he was finishing at the end of the season when they lost to West Ham there the other day?
Yeah.
It's that kind of side to him that he gets, you know, sometimes you see him and you're like, you know what, he's just a happy chappy, old school manager that comes in, does a job and goes out. But you just forget, he's a little snaky prick. Like, he was all that, you know, under the table stuff when he was England boss.
Yeah.
And the way he was kind of mouthing off to the Sky presenter, yeah, I'm sure he's got his issues with Sky. And the way he was having a pop at Antonio, it's
He's
very bitter. Yeah, fuck him. So we had him at Palace and he, you know, he did okay. He did the job that was needed, but absolutely not. I don't need him back in the club. Whereas Frank Lampard, I mean, yeah, it's a risk, but
Oyo.
I can't see much. Well,
this
this
is months in the making.
The facade has crumbled.
It's if Lampard goes to Palace, man, you gotta back him, and you gotta back him to the fucking death.
And I will. I think he is actually the best candidate that fits what we need to do, which is a huge rebuild. We're getting rid of all of these kind of, like, with the oldest average age in the Premier League. Like, that's not right. You can't be that team. That's got to be Burnley, right? That's sure. Just set in stone.
Sure, yeah.
It can't be Palace, right? Sure. So all of these kind of older end players are going. Like, there's no talk of anyone signing a new contract. So it could be potentially 15 players going. Like, that's big wage budget. And Frank, in fairness to him, he has got results out of younger players. I know we argue whether he's tactically sound or whether he's any good as a manager, but that's what he's going to be working with, is that it's going to be a younger batch of players, you'd hope. And also, you know, you need someone with a bit of pulling power. Frank Lampard's a big name. He's worked in, you know, he's previous manager of a big club. He's an England international, very well known around the world. He definitely has connections. And you kind of need that little bit of an edge if you're going to do a rebuild, or you need, you know, a favour off another club for a loan and stuff. So it makes the most sense, but,
yeah,
you know, we'll have to see.
I still maintain that you look at the likes of Mount and Reece James and Tomori. Like,
yeah.
I think they could still be loaned out at this time, if it wasn't for Lampard.
Mm. Yeah.
No? You don't believe me?
Mount, probably not. The others, yeah. And who else is there? There's some other English fella.
Mm.
Or academy fella. Oh, I can't remember.
Like Gilmore and stuff. There's Gilmore.
Yeah,
and
okay. Anyway. I agree that Frank, if nothing else, at least brought through some youngsters who otherwise would have vanished in the ether in Chelsea's production line.
Abraham was possibly the other. Yeah. And Hudson-Odoi, but I think he was more established, maybe.
Well, sure, he was on like 140,000 a week before Frank even showed up.
That's a discount for Chelsea.
Yeah.
So, are we saying Tuchel is a fraud?
I always said it.
Yes. Yeah.
Because as of today, they just scraped fourth. Isn't that right?
Yeah. Not by merit, because they lost their own game. Like,
yeah. The tactical masterclass from him, where he could lose the game, but because Tottenham won, they kept position. Very, very fortunate. And do you know what? Gonna say it, because I said this all year, is that I just don't think the manager is ever the issue with Chelsea. It's always the batch of players. Always is. And I think that's again here now.
Yeah, but you have to, I mean, it is fair to say that over the summer, Chelsea spent quarter of a billion on players. Mm-hmm. So, of course, that's going to, you know, reflect on how the manager is viewed. But
yeah, for sure. But I don't think the manager ever makes the signings, because the signings were so bizarre. They were so overpriced and in the same positions. That's coming from someone like upstairs. I have no doubt about that. And we'll see it again this summer. And Tuchel will get a bunch of like big names that don't even fit the style of football that he wants to play. Mm-hmm. And then he'll be dumped next November.
I wouldn't be surprised in the slightest. Mm-hmm. It's the way Chelsea operate. It's the way they've operated now for what? We're heading 15, nearly 20 years soon.
Yeah. Yep. Yeah. And that's the unfortunate thing, is that I know, obviously, it's easy to target like Frank Lampard this year too, and rightly so. Like, I'm not here to defend that. I just think that Tuchel came in and played a completely different 11. And we've seen like 25 players play for Chelsea this year, and they haven't improved. They haven't disimproved. So,
yeah,
I don't know. Does it fully lie on the manager?
We haven't seen Werner suddenly score half a dozen goals or a dozen goals.
Another offside goal for him today. The fucking idiot.
Yeah. Man, yeah.
He's an offside Morata.
He's really unlucky, though. They're always just like a hair's length away.
And even today, it wasn't he was offside. It was Azpilicueta was offside, I think.
Yeah.
Oh, well, fuck him.
Yeah, fuck him. I can't muster any sympathy. If this was news talk now, they'd be like, yeah, you know, he just has to put his head down, pull himself up by his bootstraps, and this is where a real test of character comes in. And I'm just like, fuck him. I don't care what happens to him in life or professionally. Let him go.
Just fuck him.
Not that I wish any particular harm on him.
But you don't not wish harm on him.
Yeah.
You refuse to comment on the harm he might get.
Just a few.
Like, I'm not praying. Things. I'm not praying in front of the statue of Mary in Ballinspittle, saying, please God, let Timo Werner have a great season, or let no harm come to Timo Werner.
But you're not doing that.
I'm not doing that, I suppose, yeah.
Anyway.
I'm not avoiding doing that, like.
Are we...
and that wraps up the football, I guess.
Okay, great. Perfect. Yeah. Thanks.
Well done to Pep again.
Yep.
Again.
Yep. I
will say there was something about their celebrations that just makes it seem so disinterested. You know, it's like it's not a big thing for them. Despite the fact that for like 100 years their club did nothing.
Yeah, I've said this before, but I think City getting mocked as a small club it's a little wider the mark compared to other teams. Like City, only get considered a small team previous to the buyout. They're only considered a small team because United were so much bigger, because they were the biggest club in the country, them and Liverpool and Arsenal. But if they weren't, if like Man City were like from Birmingham or some other city, no one would say, oh, Man City, they have no history or anything. They won a load of league titles, a load of FA Cups. They've been around in the Football League for a century or more. They were a huge club on a national level. Much bigger than Chelsea were, and much bigger than Tottenham are today. And like people go on about Villa and even Nottingham Forest being historic fallen giants. Nottingham Forest were not and are not bigger than City were before the buyout, even with the European Cups. Facts. Just wanted to say that.
Yeah, yeah.
Not that I like City. I don't like City. Jesus, the fucking sports washing Abu Dhabi crowd. Fuck them. And fuck all their players. Especially fuck them, actually, because they really did in Arsenal when they got their money and they bought a load of Arsenal players and stripped them of all their assets. So fuck them, especially, actually. I'm just saying.
Yes, they did.
We can be realistic as well as... I don't need to make up reasons to hate them. There's enough reasons to dislike them in reality. Like,
sure. Okay.
Yeah. I always find it quite funny when you see Pep Guardiola support like humanitarian causes when, you know, where's his salary coming from? But anyway, yeah. Last time we're seeing Aguero kick a ball in the Premier League. I mean, he got a good send off. Naturally, he scored. Like, Aguero for me is like he holds the greatest ever Premier League moment, in my opinion. I hope that changes. I hope there's plenty more great moments. But like that goal against QPR in the last minute for me is iconic, and it's like the epitome of football. Forget the club, forget everything. Just, you know, last minute goal, need it for a title, the crowd going mental, shirt off, all that jazz.
Yeah.
Fergie crying, brilliant. Like,
yeah. Best moment. I mean, is he top three? Him? Henry Shearer, maybe Rooney as well, but I mean it's really hard to knock him off that top three, top four.
Best player the past decade, anyway. Who else?
Well, I'll have to go in think about it.
Oh, Suarez, is it?
The top decade. Second, yeah, maybe.
What year is it? 2011 onwards. So yeah, because that's exactly when he joined. You know, it was like 11-12 season, I think.
Like Silva, maybe. I don't know. I haven't had time to think about it, but
I've said it about Aguero for ages. I've said this years ago that he's the best player in the league, and up until his injury problems this season and the season before, still was. Even when Hazard, who I never rated that highly, by the way, I never rated Hazard very highly. And
we know.
And Sanchez, even when Sanchez was on the team I support, I was still like, Aguero was probably the best player in the league. And he's never won like a player of the season or anything. But they hand those out to fellas like fucking Bruno. But anyway.
Nice.
Yeah. Yeah, no, it's true. For me, in terms of like personalities, moments, and whatnot, it's definitely Aguero. I think Henry's up there too.
Henry is up there. Yeah, sorry. Are we talking all time? Yeah, Henry would be ahead of him.
Yeah, yeah. No, I'm just reading off like best Premier League players. Like, and I think he wasn't with us for a long time, but like Ronaldo, I thought he was just magical to watch. Absolutely magical.
Sure, Ronaldo nearly has as many appearances as Aguero, I'd say. Let me look this up. 2 seconds.
In the meantime, we'll go to our sponsors, Adrian Hanley's music classes.
Okay, well, Ronaldo has 196 appearances for United, and Aguero, he's got... Oh, no, Aguero has much more. Yeah, Aguero nearly has 50% more appearances. Like he is like 275.
Mm.
So
yeah, Ronaldo wasn't really in the league that long, but he just had such an impact and he just scored so many goals. I suppose it's the same as with every club he's been with.
Mm-hmm.
Just bangs in goals.
Right.
Yeah, yeah. So sad to see Aguero go. I mean, he did really limp across the line, like literally limp across the line. He's very much at the tail end of his career, that's for sure.
Well, he got 2 goals in his last game. It's not limping, is it?
Yeah, but he's a bit crucked. Like, they definitely just pumped him full of, you know, droids. Yeah. Got him through it.
But if I could limp across the line with 2 goals and a Premier League title, I would fucking take that.
Yeah. Take nothing away. Yeah. Take nothing away.
Eat the man.
I just also, every time it comes up, I have to bring it up that when you say that the greatest Premier League moment was Aguero scoring the goal, and mm-hmm. how it was like 1 in a billion never could happen or never would happen. When Arsenal beat Liverpool in 1989 to win the league, it was better. It was better than Aguero's mm-hmm. moment. It was better.
No.
It was. Granddad. It was way closer as well. It was at the champions, at the team they had to beat, and they didn't just beat them by the amount they had to beat them by. They won on goals scored. They won a league on goals scored, and it was a last second goal as well. So it's better. I don't want to hear about fucking Aguero, because you're drinking the sky juice. You're listening to Martin Tyler too much.
Mm-hmm. it's not Premier League though, so it doesn't count. Like we all know everything before mm-hmm. 92. Was just bullshit. So, how about that?
What about UFOs, lads? Are they a thing?
Yeah.
What, aliens?
Are. Yeah. Well, no.
Well, this is
UFOs.
It's a pretty big fucking difference. It's like,
well, this is the thing.
UFOs like, exist.
Yes. UFOs.
Do aliens UFOs visit the Earth? No.
Yeah. You spoiled it, Flynn.
Okay. No, go ahead. I mean, what? You tell me what you think.
No, as in, like, I was going to say, yes, yeah, there are UFOs. There are things out there that we don't really understand or know or whatever. I think they walk among us?
No, you're talking about, like, military aircraft or something, yeah?
I mean...
What, angels?
No. No.
Spittle angels?
No. I mean, are there things out in space that we don't comprehend? That's all I mean.
All right.
Like, is there something out there that we don't get? Yes, of course.
Well, yeah, but not flying around like a few miles above the Earth.
Yeah, but that was the next question. Like, are there things, because that's what I think Obama has said that there are things that they can't identify.
I'm sure if I took my drone and flew it around Clonakilty, people mm-hmm. would be like, oh, what's that? And they would be able to identify it and they'd be like, yep, that's a UFO, technically.
But I think they say, like, the movement of it is so specific, like, it's erratic, it can't go straight. Like if you took your fucking
it's the movement.
No, it's true.
Yeah, I'm stonewalling it here, totally, completely. No,
but like if you like, there's definitely smarter people than the three of us identifying these lights going, this cannot be a plane, B a satellite, C a drone.
Well, there are also people who are way stupider than us, who are, you know, conspiracy theorists who spout all this nonsense and analyzing footage saying, yeah, I can't move that way. It's just not possible. It must be aliens. And there's also people who it's in their interest to get loads of money for their fucking military projects to say, yeah, there are things out there that we just, you know, this technology is so far beyond us. That these fucking guys come out and say this because then people think, oh, we need to catch up. We need to get on that level. We need to put more money into our military. It's a load of bollocks.
So you don't believe, I suppose, 2 questions. You don't believe there's other life forms out there, and you don't believe that they'd have the capabilities of potentially checking in on Earth
I think both of those things are possible. Yeah.
Okay.
Do I think they happened? No.
Why? Why don't you think they've happened?
Why? This is like, do you believe in God? No. Prove it. Like, I don't know.
I'm not saying prove it.
Fucking anything.
I'm not saying prove it. I'm just saying, like, if you believe that, like, you know, those things can happen, then why would they not have happened now? Why
just because something can happen is, doesn't mean it's going to happen. Or it inevitably would have happened.
Like, I will somewhat go on Connor's side here in that in the last 20 years, everyone has a camera on their phone. Right?
Yeah, so Bigfoot sightings gone.
Yeah. So, like, if there is a fucking UFO, like a flying saucer in the sky, there's about 200 people can take their phone out and just take a picture of it, no matter where it is, no matter how fast it goes. Yeah. But this CNN thing that has come out, I don't know if you guys have seen it. There was like a CNN interview news thing with like an ex Navy guy. I'm making it up now, but like an ex Marine guy and an ex head of military something. And they have both said, yeah, we saw something we didn't really understand.
But I think in my mind, it's like, what's more likely if I weigh it up, that aliens are flying around in spaceships that we can see? Or do these people want attention and do news companies want content? I think it more likely would be the second option.
True, but there has been a lot more in the last few years, people saying, yeah, we saw something.
Yeah, okay. In the last few years, there's been a lot more people saying, I saw something. That makes me think aliens.
I just don't think it's out of the realm of possibility of happening. I mean, no,
I said it's possible.
Although I'm mediating this topic. I have no strong opinions either way.
All right, even Judge though Judy.
Well, it's a good comparison. I mean, I'd like to earn the money that she does. She rakes it.
Yeah.
Highest paid person Fair on play. Television.
Yeah.
To literally not listen half the time. She doesn't care.
I know.
It's an interesting one. But I found the timing of the documentary and the release to be interesting because it was around the time that a lot of US investment would really prefer the world stopped looking at Israel and their US military equipment killing children. I thought that was the right time for people to be like, aliens. And everyone was like, where do we look? Where do we find it?
So you believe... What do you believe?
I believe that there are extraterrestrials, I think if you call them that. I believe there is vastly superior technology, much closer than we probably believe it to be, even though space is a concept that we can't ever understand with our meat brains. But I also know that governments will do a lot of things, especially military-wise, to lead people to believe that there's greater threats and there's things that, like, militaries and governments wouldn't really need to happen if we weren't always functioning on fear. It's the whole thing. It's, you know, the US military does not need to have as much funding pumped into it from like taxpayers' money when they've never been invaded. They've never had like conflict on the soil of the United States since the Civil War. Mm-hmm. You can call 9/11 that, but again, that was just lads on a plane rather than like a military attacking it. And people will argue, oh, that's because, you know, the military is so good. Is the military so good when a bunch of rednecks can just walk up onto the steps of the Capitol building and basically break in and put their whole government under threat of attack? But yeah, I'm kind of segueing there. Or not segueing, I'm veering off a little bit. but it's very much in the purpose or the better benefits of the US government during a crisis in a place where they get a lot of funding and have a lot of investment in, to basically tell people things that would justify them needing to increase military budgets or increase military presence. That's all.
I don't think we've been visited by extraterrestrials, although possible, but I would be disappointed if we had been, and they just turned out to be fellas in fucking flying saucers buzzing around. What a fucking letdown.
Yeah, it would be, wouldn't it?
I mean, when I think of alien life, I think it's something that we can't even comprehend, that doesn't look like life on Earth, which might not even be life at all to us. But if they were just green fellas in like a submarine that flew, I'd be like, what a fucking joke of a universe. Fucking waste.
I do know what you mean. Like if we were abducted by aliens, you wouldn't want them to just be like human-sized green people.
I'm always annoyed by that in like sci-fi movies, the way aliens always look vaguely human.
Yeah, you want them to be like, I don't know, like look like something I can't even imagine. So like an Inside Out TV screen or something.
Did you ever play the game Mass Effect?
No.
I thought they, even though they had loads of like human looking aliens in it, they did make an effort to have aliens which looked actually alien, like jellyfish things and stuff. Did not look the way other TV shows or whatever games had aliens.
Sure.
Mm. Anyway, it was an effort.
Because if aliens come to Earth and they're more powerful than us and they're, you know, it's not a fight, that they're probably not going to be the same size as us or like resemble us in any way.
This is it. Like if aliens were coming down, they wouldn't be fighting us with laser beams the same distance that you need for a gun. They wouldn't be hopping out of the spaceship in like cyber tanks. They'd be like the size of fucking a grain of salt, and they'd be able to shoot you in the head from a light year away or something. You wouldn't even see them.
We'd be done before you'd even know it.
The War of the Worlds was, you know that story, War of the Worlds?
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's like a metaphor for colonialism. The way like people in Africa or South America would have felt when the Europeans showed up.
Mm-hmm.
And they just, it was like fighting aliens.
Yeah, it makes sense.
Yeah. Yeah. If by chance an alien did descend from space and isolated just you, and you had to tell him one thing that he could take home to whatever mysterious planet, whatever part of the galaxy is from, what's the one thing you'd say to an alien?
Arsenal beating Liverpool in 1989 was better than Aguero QPR.
Yeah.
They'd be scribbling that one down.
Mo Salah is your first pick for fantasy football next year. Yeah. Is that what you wanted?
Predictable answers, yeah.
Okay.
If anything, I'm
well, one thing to tell aliens to take back home to their own planet.
Interesting.
I would probably tell them, you know, let's keep a distance.
Just don't interrupt people is probably what I tell them.
Grant.
That was the funniest joke I ever told.
Yeah.
Fucking shit.
Fuck off.
No, it was good. It was good.
So Flynn, you go.
What was I even saying? I can't remember.
Would you not say like to them, we're very peaceful, just in case he comes back with his buddies or something, no? We're a peaceful race.
Yeah, that's a good joke.
If you tell them they're peaceful, then they'd be like, aha. easy target. True.
Yeah, we're fucking hard, mate.
Mm.
Get out. Get out of my planet.
We're not from South London, like, we don't get this.
Speaking of aliens, I guess, I have no real segue into this, but
no.
the HSE got hacked. Mm. And all of our data now belongs to someone else. It's not very good, is it?
Not very good. You want to do the HSE thing this week?
Why not, like?
Okay, all right. I feel like we're going to be here for a bit. Maybe we won't. No.
No, we won't. We won't. I'll go easy on him.
All right.
But I just wanted to, like, firstly say how ridiculous it is and how calm everyone seems to be about it. It ain't no joke, right? All of our medical history is
been leaked. I feel like it just became numb to this happening like a few leaks ago, where it was like Facebook's been hacked, 3 billion users' information compromised. I was like, the first time I heard of this kind of stuff happening, I was scared, but it just kept happening. And no one seems to be that bothered about it. And anyway, they sell it regardless. It doesn't matter if things get leaked or hacked. The people in charge sell it anyway.
That's true. It's true. If anything, we should be upset that someone hasn't profited from us.
Mm. Yeah, I should be getting a share.
Yeah, like I didn't find anything crazy about my personal information being given out. I know it's not meant to be given out, but like, in terms of, I would prefer that to be given out than my fucking bank details or my PIN code or something. So
They're not going to find much on my medical history anyway, because as I said, I've gone to the doctor like twice in my whole life. So they're going to find like he had like an ear infection when he was 11 and he had eczema when he was 17. Yeah. We've got him now.
And Kieran, you didn't have a great experience with the receptionist, I guess.
No. I didn't at all.
Tell.
I had an appointment, not for me, for my daughter. Planned about 7 months in advance. Kind of a checkup, but quite serious as well, about like hips and hip alignment, which is important for newborn kids because, you know, walking is important.
Of course.
And you know yourself. And 7 months planned, made the trip out. I think it was at like 2 o'clock, made the trip out, got to the hospital, went into the reception. Hello, here for the appointment. Here's child. Haven't you heard? I was like, haven't I heard what? She's like, sure, there's no appointments now. They hacked the system. It's like, okay. Like, did anyone know that? No. Haven't you? Do you not watch the news?
Yeah. But whose fault was that, Kieran?
Well, obviously mine, for not watching the news.
Exactly. Right? Yeah. Fucking, whose fault is this?
There's nowhere in the news that says don't go to.
Yeah.
Is there?
No.
Well,
exactly.
Well, I just heard him saying,
but I was
delays are to be expected or whatever. Yeah. But like, not saying there's nothing happening.
Yeah. So basically, it was like, okay, so when is it going to be rescheduled from? Not sure, can't access the system. It was literally, you know, Little Britain, computer says no.
Yeah.
And it's like, literally, like it's about half an hour from the house, like. And Joe's going to die out with the older generations is that lack of empathy or like lack of providing a pleasant experience. Not even over the top service, just like I'm sorry or
courtesy.
Just some courtesy. It just doesn't exist in that kind of generation of people that just landed with a job, you know. And it's I'm gonna be glad the day it's gone, because like the amount of times we've all been in that kind of scenario, right, when we've gone into an appointment or to a receptionist and it's just kind of been like, looking down at you and get over there, go sit there, that kind of thing.
Yeah,
it's not great.
Sure, this is a generation that still goes to mass. Like,
yeah, that's like if they the fucking listen to mass, they should be saying sorry.
No, they only go to mass because when they were younger, if you didn't go to mass, like you were just an outsider because they'd beat people or they'd just whisper about people who didn't go to mass. So like the people who do that are just the ones who are addicted to authority or just going along with the flow. It doesn't matter what happens to other people. That's my opinion.
I agree with your opinion. I think it's a very good one.
If people are still going to fucking mass after all that has come out about the fucking church in the past 20 years, like I got nothing for you. Like if you believe that, best of luck to you, but why are you still going to mass? Like going to the church?
Yeah. No shame.
Shit, we only have 10 minutes left in this meeting.
we can talk about UFOs and HSE.
Oh, cryptocurrency. That's what we wanted to talk about too.
Jesus Christ. Save something for next week, Kieran. Christ.
Jesus. We'll have plenty more by next week. The world moves fast.
We can talk about crypto next week.
Bitcoin aliens.
Imagine aliens show up and we just scam them. We sell them a load of Bitcoin.
That's it, yeah. This will be worth 200 times the value now. Poor sons.
Although, I did buy Bitcoin during the dip.
Ah, good, yeah. Did you actually?
I did. I bought some, yeah.
It's wise.
Happy days. It's wise.
Yeah, well, yeah, no, I was actually thinking about it for a year. Like, I've never been influenced by people going, oh, buy a lot of money in crypto. Just get into crypto now while you can. I was thinking about it years ago, but it was so complex. The whole system, giving your passport and shit. I was like, no, it seems a bit dodgy. Yeah. I'll leave it. And then it was just like, if you would put money in back then, you'd have made like 10 times or more. And I was like,
yep.
I've thought about it before. If it dips again, I'll buy some just to have it. Like, I mean, I only bought like 150 euros worth altogether.
Sure.
Like, and that's all I'm putting in. And I'm just going to leave it. I'm not going to be looking at charts all day. I'm just going to have that. And if it goes up or down, I'm comfortable with losing 150 euro in the long run if it doesn't work out. And, it might go up, it might go down. We were talking about gambling recently. I know
this one. Yeah. Once you're comfortable, Connor, with losing 150. I know.
But this is it. I'm telling myself now, and I'm even putting it on a record, like that this is really, I'm not going fucking deep into this the way other people are. It's like 150. If that's the end of it, fine. I'll accept that. The Bitcoin phenomenon or whatever, sure. Crypto, I can look back in 10 years and be like, huh, that was gas or that was mad. Not that I'm throwing away 150 for nothing, but I think
that's it.
It's worth it to me to say, I'll put in 150 now and, it might go well.
There's so many similar things though, like 20 years back, like renewable energy, for example, where you could have invested in when they were just very, very small companies, regional companies for like very low stock price, or more recently, like the tech boom, like investing in things like Apple or Amazon when they were dead cheap.
I was saying this could be the same. Yeah, that, when Forrest Gump, when Forrest gets like a letter saying, I put your money in this fruit company or something. And it's Apple, Apple computers. And like the joke was that they put a load of money into Apple before they became big and that he's now a millionaire. That movie was made like 94. If you had taken all your money then and put it into Apple at that point, you'd have like made 20 times your money back in the next 10 years, even when they were making jokes about how, isn't it funny how, oh, if only we could have put money into Apple like him, Anyway,
easy. But Paddy Power finally got to you then, Finn. Yeah, he finally.
No, it was Mike. Mike's actually
worse.
No, Mike. Mike's deep into it, and he. Although I know I love listening to him and Dave's conversations about it, in the group chat, but I was like, if I because I was thinking about putting money into it for a little bit, and I'm like, I'll go to Mike about it because I trust Mike to not be completely fucking off his rocker. I do.
First mistake.
I do.
Right. No.
No, I know. I know.
I mean, Mike's done a lot of research, even though maybe.
He's the most educated of all of us.
That's it. Yeah.
Fair play though, Flynn. I mean, look, worst case scenario, it's €150 loss.
This is it. Best and that's case scenario, worst case scenario where make... it goes to zero. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Sure. This is it. And I mean, the second you put it in, the second it's, you know, consider it lost like we discussed last week. And
yeah.
Yeah. Look, I think it's a wise investment, especially during the dips, because it is, unfortunately, the cryptocurrencies are all very dependent on like news. To kind of get them up and down.
I know.
And it's only a matter of time before that happens again. And like Mike probably told you, there's a lot of companies and a lot of countries that are committing to cryptocurrency as like the future of payments. So,
And this is it. I just don't even want money. I have money sitting in the bank and it's like doing nothing, you know, earning like, what is it? Is there any interest being earned to that? I don't even notice every year whether I earn interest much on stuff in the fucking bank. But like,
yeah.
I might as well put a little bit into an investment, even though the investment happens to be the most volatile and like fatty, you know, fucking flavor of the month kind of thing possible that could go fucking down the tubes. But, you know, it's a bit of fun.
But it is. And it's wise. It's wise to spread the risk. You know, you put your money into a bank, right? I mean, we take banks to be safe. Just like safe as houses, but as the 2008 crash told us, that was built on housing.
Nothing safe.
Not as safe as houses. And the banks we invest our money in is only because it's traditional to do that. They could fold in the morning. We don't know what they're. I mean, they can give statements, but we don't know the true value or the true risk that these banks are taking. They bet a lot on this, on like what they think is safe. All it needs is a systematic change to kind of flip that all on its head. So, you know, no one's money is safe. So you may as well put it in something that might get you better than a fucking €4 monthly fee.
Yeah. And I don't want to sound like a Joe Rogan, you know, podcast fan going on about, you know, oh, lads, I'm into crypto now. It's the way forward. I'm like, no. In fact, I tell people not to do it because I'm like, most people probably can't control themselves in situations where like money like this is, you know, rising and falling so quickly. So I probably wouldn't even tell people to get into it, but just in case people think I've flipped. Anyway.
So basically the message from the Put 'Em Under Pressure podcast is that you should invest heavily in Popcoin, the new cryptocurrency on the market. Pump and dump, baby.
Pump and dump, yeah.
Flynn has flipped.
Yeah, I've completely lost my mind. Yeah.
What about the Chinese that have been exploited for Bitcoin, Flynn? I thought they were the most vulnerable people in the world.
They are.
No comento.
We can get into this. I'm very happy to talk about this, although we only have 1 minute.
Not in a minute. Okay, go.
Yeah.
You can say things can be improved somewhat, even if you're partaking in society.
Right. That sounds like a copy, Pastor Flynn. That sounds like something on Reddit.
Does it?
Yeah, it kind of does.
Give me your fucking copy, Pastor response, though.
I don't need to.
You've been listening to the Put 'Em Under Pressure podcast. For more of our content, make sure that you follow us on YouTube, Spotify, and Facebook. Outro music.